I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you information unfiltered, uncensored by the corporate media. Visit RadioMonterey.com. Take a look at the shows and the hosts. This is our final month. We're broadcasting from 3 p.m. Pacific time to 11 p.m. Sunday through Saturday. Take a look at those shows and hosts. And even though I say it's our last month, I keep moving, sliding that forward. But we're pretty much getting close to shutting down our broadcast operations of Radio Monterey. But that does not affect Good Vibrations Radio, which will stay alive and continue to broadcast well beyond infinity, I declare. Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which we just had the last weekend of October. We're planning again for next October with some interim events throughout the year, some quarterly previews, some other small little events going on with psychics and healers, etc. So we're making a lot of plans. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com. Sign up for that email list so you can stay informed with what's going on and never miss an event, because you always want to be at our events. You do. I can see that in you right now. Well, as you know, I love me some Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that what we put in our heart and we use to frame our belief and intention is what creates our reality. So our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions, but our future reality is formed by our present thoughts and actions. So our past thoughts and actions have been predestined or predetermined what our future will be. Every day we awaken and we have a new opportunity to frame a new future. So keep that in mind. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been carved up into a little bit for each day of the month, so it becomes more digestible to understand. So for the eighth day of the month, James Allen says, see yourself succeed. Change of diet will not help a person who will not change his thoughts. When a person makes his thoughts pure, he no longer desires impure food. So that goes to almost anything that we do in our life. As a matter of fact, this little poem from James Allen says it best. Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind, and every more he takes. The tool of thought and shaping what he wills brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. So with all of his turn of the century words there, James Allen is telling us, stop blaming everything around you, outside you, environment, people, places, things, that situation that happened to you in sixth grade that you never got over. Knock it off. Work on it, heal it, clear it. But start creating your new future right now in this moment. Whatever you want more of in your life, start creating that belief, that focus, and take the steps to head toward that. Stop focusing on lack and start focusing on abundance. You know, as I mentioned also, every day I like to look at the daily word put out by Unity. Now, certainly I was raised a Catholic, but I don't believe in any religion. I don't even believe in a God, although I will talk about the divine and the universe. But what I like about the daily word from Unity, it gives me a positive focused thought for each day. So I can start each day with that thought foremost in my mind instead of dwelling on something from yesterday, because that's not going to help me in any way, shape, or form. So for today, for Thursday, December 8th, the daily word says, I follow the golden rule and pray for others. You know, yesterday I did a presentation for a corporate group that brought in their affiliates from London and Hong Kong and New York and San Francisco. And I gave them a presentation about the leadership magic as I presented the journey from trickster to sage, which is about each and every one of us being the best expression of who we are. And the best expression of who we are is in our connection with others, our rapport with others, our compassion and empathy for others, and being willing to allow ourselves to be where we are at this time, as well as allowing others to be where they are at that time. There's no push and pull or reframing or reforming. But this statement here today from the Daily Word really follows along with that whole premise. I follow the golden rule and pray for others. I pray for others that they get the best that is possible for them in this life, that whatever is most needed for them comes to them. Now, I don't do it by depriving myself at the same time, but I do it from coming from a pure heart in opening to people. So as we go into this season of light, where we're going to actually go down toward the solstice, we'll get down to the darkest night of the year, the shortest day, and we will then start making our move back to the light, back to the shine, back to the growth, back to the fertility, back to the rebirth of the world. As we go into this season, this is the time for us to not only pray for ourselves, but to pray for others and to ensure that what we're asking is the benevolent blessings for everyone and not exclude anyone in that prayer. Well, that certainly sets a tone for what we can do this season. A little later, I want to mention quickly, I'm going to mention it now, get it out of the way. I want to talk about this full moon in Gemini that's coming up on Monday. You know, we want to pay attention to, or Tuesday rather. Gemini is really all about two sides. It's not like Libra the scales, but it's really looking at two sides of everything. In my lifetime, every time I've had a Gemini in my life, I have to admit they always drove me nuts because they could look at all sides of things. I was never quite sure what they themselves were committed to. But that being said, when the full moon in Gemini comes out, it's an air sign. It's a sign of the mind. It's going to really require all of us to keep it together, for us to just keep focused on whatever it is that we're working on, that we're doing. A full moon is a manifesting time. We came off that powerful new moon a couple of weeks ago to create our intentions and plant our seeds, and now our seeds are going to start to bear fruit. So we're going to be in a good mood to have the conversation about what's going on, because Gemini is an air sign, loves to talk, loves to express, loves to communicate, loves to understand. So that part of it's going to be good. We may find it difficult to pinpoint one thing, one area to put our focus into. But at the same time, But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are going into the full moon with the focus of what we want to work on to manifest. Because if we go into the portal of the full moon starting on Sunday, knowing that I want to work on shining my shoes. And that's what I'm going to work on with the energy of the full moon. Then no matter what happens when the full moon crests and is full, we won't get so thrown off that focus as we move forward. And as we get further out of the portal of the moon, further into next week, we're going to find that the focus may come back. We just won't have the push of energy working with us. So just wanted to share that. And that's going to lead us now into our guest for today. Now, usually we have a segment on this day, but not today. We actually have a special guest, and I'm very excited about this. She's originally from Massachusetts, but she's been in Santa Cruz since 1985. Now, originally, she was an astrophysicist, and she came here to study at UCSC for graduate school and received her PhD in 1993. She worked at NASA for 11 years studying the formation of stars and planets. And she then, about 6-7 years ago, began a formal study of experiential dream work. And for the last 4 years, she's been actually counseling clients in their dream work. And she's also responsible for an event that she'll mention a little later that she holds up in Santa Cruz on dream work. So all that being said, I want to take this time to welcome Catherine Bell to Good Vibrations Radio. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Solazar. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm usually just glad to be anywhere anyway. So, you know, I find it interesting because there certainly is a synergy between your study of planets and stars and really the cosmos and the universe and your fascination with dreams. And we talked briefly before the show, and you mentioned you've always been interested in dream works. Could you tell us when that you first noticed that you had this fascination for the understanding of dreams?
Well, I've had dreams that have captured my attention since I was a little girl. I mean, there's still 3 or 4 dreams that I have in my memory from being 10 years old or younger that are very meaningful to me now. And it kind of was more of a process of realizing that other people didn't care as much about dreams as I did. And for me, it was always like a very important part of my life was the dreams that I had. And they've been some of kind of like this background or sometimes even the foreground part of my life for as long as I can remember.
And you also mentioned that your formal study started in 2009 was really with the student of the dreams, dream work type of work. What makes their work different than other dream work or dream counseling that may occur?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question because that really goes to the heart of why I'm so passionate about this kind of dream work, is that this dream work is really based on images and feelings and not rather than on interpretations and intellectual conversation about dreams. It really goes to the moment of stepping into the dream, like I'll invite my clients to go to a moment in the dream and really feel what's happening there, to like imagine the situation and feel into what's coming up for you there. And that feeling is the real key to the way the dreams work deeply in us. I mean, being a scientist, of course, I'm interested in the scientific studies about dreams. And one of the things that I've learned is that when we're sleeping, the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that we use for thinking and planning and making decisions, is actually very quiescent while we sleep, whereas the really active parts of our brain are the amygdala, the hippocampus, and these other more primitive parts of our brain that are related to feelings. In fact, recently read some research showing that while we sleep, that there's that those emotional parts of our brain are very active, but then they kind of create this bridge to the prefrontal cortex, and so that those deeper instinctive part of our brain can really inform our prefrontal cortex, because so often we think that the thinking part of us is the best of who we are. I mean, I've been a scientist all my life, and so certainly that was my feeling for a long time, is that, you know, my body was there to carry my brain around, and the brain was the important part, and the body was this kind of annoying thing that needed eating, you know, feeding and exercise and all this. But as I've connected more to my feelings through the dream work that I do, I've really come to see that it's the instinctive activity of the body that really informs a lot of my major decisions and even my smaller decisions during the course of my day. That rather than trying to control the decisions, that by letting them arise from me on a feeling basis, then I make decisions that are way more in line with what is satisfying. Like the big change that I made from being an astrophysicist to being a dream worker was a really huge thing. You talked about alchemy in your introduction. In fact, there were a lot of things in your introduction that I really could appreciate. We seem to speak the same language in a lot of ways. And making that decision to change from being a full-time civil servant scientist working for NASA to being a dream worker was a huge shift in my life. And I'm finding that having made that shift, that I'm way more satisfied with my life. I have a lot more excitement and passion in my life. And I really attribute a lot of that to the dream work and this way of working with the dreams, which connects us more to our feelings and to our bodies.
Now, what I didn't mention in your introduction, of course, is that you have a 12-year-old son. When you made the shift from being, you know, a full-time civil service employee, which in essence is saying, I have safety, my security, my physical needs, it's all taken care of. There's security here. And you are making that shift to say, I'm going to do this full time. How much of a challenge was that for you? I mean, it's a challenge for anyone, but how much of a challenge was that for you, knowing you also had a son that was, he would receive the benefit or the detriment of that decision?
It's very true. It definitely does raise the stakes to have a child in the world. And in fact, that's one of the blessings of being a parent, is that I feel more engaged in the world than I was before he was born. That I now have a bigger stake in our future, and also just a real personal relationship that's right here at all times and needs attention. So it was a big risk to leave NASA and decide to do the dream work full time. But one thing I can say is that over the years, I've found that my relationship with my son has improved considerably, through specifically working dreams that come up. I dream about him very often, as we often dream about our loved ones. And then when I work those dreams in session with Bill St. Cyr, who's the Students of the Dream guy, that when I work the dreams relating to my son, I can really see those issues that are getting between us. So that our relationship over the years has improved. So it was a risk, but financially it's worked out, and I'm finding that there's a lot of benefit to my relationship with him from this increased focus on dreams in my life.
So I would imagine that it was almost like a shift of two different lives, almost being a form of schizophrenic in one sense, because I would imagine that being an astrophysicist is very intellectually focused, but you mentioned your dream work really was more emotionally liberating, emotionally focused, and put you greater in touch with your own feelings.
Well, you may not be surprised to learn that I'm actually a Gemini of sun sign.
Actually, so, you know what, I was saying that in the thing about the Gemini, I said, you know what, I bet you Catherine's a Gemini.
I know, when you were talking about the Geminis, I'm like, oh yeah, that fits me pretty much right on.
The
communicator and having the two different sides of myself, and like you've said, your relationships with Geminis, it's not always clear what that Gemini wants, and that's certainly been a long issue for me, of not really being sure what to choose. Like the whole thing of making decisions has been really really fraught, and that it's like it can be very agonizing for me to make decisions. But I find that that's what happens when I'm locked into a brain place, or a place where I think I have to decide from an intellectual point of view. But when I drop more into my belly or into my heart and kind of wait for an answer and listen to my dreams, that the answer just becomes clear. It isn't really even a decision. It just becomes, I notice which way I'm turning. So it isn't really like a decision, though, I'm going to turn right instead of left. It's just like, oh, look, my head's turned to the right.
I understand that. I do. You know, it's actually, not to belabor this, but see, and I'm an Aries, and I'm actually off the cliff before I realized maybe I should have bought a parachute.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. But, yeah, that's the fire sign for sure.
So when we talk about dreams also, I know in my lifetime with many people, especially I've affiliated with many, many creative people who do dream journals and are very focused on their dreams.
Yeah.
But often you hear the average person say, I don't remember my dreams. Right. I think I had a dream 5 years ago. And so when you work with clients, do you work with clients also on teaching them how to retain a memory of their dream? And what are some ways people could do that?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I hear that frequently, in fact. But studies have shown that even people who say they don't remember dreams, that they are having dreams, you know, four or five times a night. They're just not remembering them. And that, you know, humans always dream. Pretty much any major sleep cycle, you're going to dream at least once. And so whether you remember them or not doesn't mean you're not having them. So it's partly a matter of intention, and that I often find that people who say they don't dream and they don't know much about it, but maybe we've been talking about dreams, and then maybe the next day or two they'll say, hey, I had a dream, which basically they mean they remembered a dream, because they have dreams all the time. Mm-hmm. But the remembering is tricky, and there are certain tricks to it. Intention is one of the things, and focus. I always call alarm clocks dream killers, because an alarm clock will, like, you right up out of bed without, and the dream is gone. So that's one thing. If you can avoid an alarm, I find it's vital to have some way to record my dreams, like immediately when I get up, pen and paper right by the bed. I actually use Siri, being like a technological girl at this point, and I keep my smartphone in the bathroom. And when I get up in the middle of the night, or whenever I get up, I'm gonna use the bathroom first thing anyway, and I just go in and open up iNotes, it's a simple app, whatever you have, and there's this little dictation thing where you can press a microphone to the left of your space bar, at least that's how it shows up on my phone, and then speak. And you speak the dream, and then a couple of sentences, and then you have to go back and, you know, fix all those crazy autocorrects. But, you know, you can do it a few sentences at a time, and it's actually a really simple way of recording your dreams. You don't really have to even wake up that much, because you can just kind of just mumble into your microphone, and then you don't have to transcribe it later. It's already written out for you. It's like a dictation thing. And that's what I find is the most helpful, is to actually use some kind of way of recording your dreams that's easy. Some people have little pens that light up in the night, and they can use that in the middle of the night. So setting the intention and then having the tools available are really the main aspects of remembering dreams, I find.
So what does a dream represent for us? In other words, is it Jungian, where it's mythologically symbolizing something for us? Is every time I see a unicorn, does it always mean X in my dreams? What does a dream symbolize or represent for the average person?
Well, I'm going to answer this in like a little, maybe a little surprising way, but I think that what the dreams represent is that our brain to say the same thing another way, our unconscious, which is, you know, the parts of our brain that we don't have conscious access to, is sorting out what's happening during our life and sorting out memories and sorting out decisions for the future. And I think we're eavesdropping in on what's going on in the unconscious and the subconscious parts of the brain. So that these images are a kind of a poetry. They're kind of like a shorthand that our brains can conjure up for us to represent in an incredibly full way what's really going on in the brain below the conscious level. So that when we have a dream about a particular object or a person, or like you said, a unicorn, then our brain is referencing not just the image of the unicorn, but also everything we know about unicorns, everything we've ever heard about unicorns, everything we've ever felt about unicorns. So so that that particular symbol can be very personal depending on the history of a given dreamer. So there are certain things that we have in common, like culturally, there are certain cultural things we know about unicorns. But then the individual person might have had an experience, like I remember reading a book, I think it's just called The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle when I was young, and the unicorns were these beautiful, tragic creatures. And so for me, I might remember that time that I read the book when I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old, and it was a very big transformational time for me. So along with all the other things we know about unicorns, for me, I would fold in that experience of when I was a child and what was going on for me at that time. Puberty was a very turbulent time for most of us, and so that was kind of tied up in my whole thing about unicorns. So there is the larger cultural, mythological aspect of a symbol, but as important is the personal experience of that person and their literal associations. What do they know about unicorns? What was their experience about unicorns?
We want to let folks know that they could go to krbelldreamworker.com, which is also on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, to find out more about you and the work that you do. So we're talking to Catherine Bell, and she is an experiential dream worker, and she's sharing a little bit about the understanding we can have about our dreams, what they represent, and how we can explore them. Speaking of how we can explore them, Catherine, if I came to you as a client, what would be the typical session that we would start with or look to? What would I need to be bringing to you, and what would you then be working with me about?
Great. Well, I would for a typical session, I would appreciate getting the dreams like a few hours in advance, or the day before would be even better, because it gives me a chance to mull it over and feel into the different aspects of the dreams. I have one client who's a very prolific dreamer, and she can send me, five, six pages worth of dreams. And we're certainly not going to cover all those dreams in a given session. But it helps to have those in advance so that I can mull it over and see the different, where I think the key alchemical moments in the dream are, so I can direct us to those points. But then once we get into the session, which I can do, by the way, I can do in person or through Skype or on the telephone. Any of those ways can be really amazing ways of working with dreams. So I would first take a moment to sit down and do a little grounding. And what I've found is that with different clients, this materializes in different ways. And one client, we hold hands for a moment, and another one, we take a breath, or another one likes a bell. So it's interesting for me to tune into my clients' ways of settling down and coming into their bodies, because we all have busy lives and we have appointments and we're running here and there. But the first thing when you arrive at a session is I'm inviting you to take a break and really make this a time when you can reconnect with your body, reconnect with what's important, reconnect with your heart. And so I do take a few minutes to breathe together and so ground. And it helps me kind of tune in. I've noticed that I have this kind of way of energetically syncing up with people that I'm with when I'm working with them, either in one-on-one clients or else in the dream groups. I host a number of dream groups in Santa Cruz as well. So it takes a minute or two to do that, and then I'll usually spend 15 minutes. My sessions are an hour and a half typically. Then I'll spend 10, 15 minutes asking you, so what's up with you? Like on your conscious mind, what's on your mind? What's bothering you? What are you excited about? What are you nervous about? And if we've worked before, how's it been since our last session? So we'll spend a few minutes checking in on the kind of the waking life plane, because that often will show up in the dreams, and it's helpful. Then we turn to the dreams, and I will have chosen several moments to look into. And sometimes I read the dreams, and I have my clients tease me about this, and then I'll have the printouts of the pages, and I kind of shuffle through, and based on the check-in and based on kind of my intuition with what's going on with this person and what they've said during their check-in, I'll choose a dream, either a whole dream or a dream moment, And then we'll read the dream together. Either the client can read it, or they can tell me the dream, or I can read it, whatever works out. And then I'll invite the client to stop at a certain moment and when something's happening in the dream, and just to feel into that moment, like what's really happening there in that moment. And that we often rush in our dreams as much as we rush in our waking lives. And so we'll have something happen in the dream, and then sometimes, bam, we're in a whole different place. And there's like, we might call that a seam, like where you bring two pieces of cloth together so that something's happening in a dream, and then suddenly, bam, we're over, you know, stuffing our backpack and running down an alleyway, or something totally different is happening.
Yeah.
And what often that means, in my experience, is that right before that big shift occurs, there's something happening that's really tender, something that we're afraid of, something that's maybe so joyful that it's painful. You know, there's some big feeling or some feeling, something we're not feeling. Something's usually happening shortly before a seam like that. So those moments can be really powerful places to look into. So I would like read the dream up to that moment, and then I'd invite the client to just stop and say, well, let's just spend a few seconds or a few minutes, whatever you can do, whatever's comfortable, and picture yourself back in that moment of the dream, and what is going on for you there? I'm really curious. You know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to ask that client to feel into it and just tell me the best I can what's happening. Are you afraid? Are you joyful? Are you having some new ideas? Is it the same old? You know, there's a whole range of things that's possible. But those moments are very key moments, because the fact that we jump away from them means that there's some heat there. There's something juicy going on. And so that's like a moment that is a kind of a deep feeling moment, and I'll encourage the client to feel into that moment a little deeper. And then often that'll bring up memories. And so we can talk about associations, but fairly often spontaneously a memory will come up there. It's like, you know, my dad never let me do whatever. My dad never appreciated who I was. Whatever that moment, that memory is, often ties in with that feeling which is happening there. So just by deepening that feeling, it seems to be very healing. They say feeling is healing. And so somehow that we want to skip over the uncomfortable feelings. We even skip over joy a lot of times because, you know, we were told we have to be serious and work hard or whatever it was. We tend to skip over the really, really deep feelings, and yet those are the ones that show up in our dreams. And, you know, the magic about dreams is that the dream will bring exactly what we're ready to work on, just exactly what we're ready. I never could understand psychologists, because they, you know, they show up, the client shows up and sits there, and it was like, well, what shall we talk about today? And like, could be anything, you know? Whereas the dream always gives me exactly the right moment to open up. So like, I maybe didn't know it was going to be a day that we were going to work on the fact your father never appreciated you or something, but the dream moment is the guide. And the dream, because it came from that dreamer's own subconscious, gives me a opening. So like, there's a moment where we can shine the light of consciousness into this moment of really deep feeling that we've been avoiding for probably, you know, as long as we've had that experience. I read a quote somewhere which I think is beautiful, which is that dreams help us digest experience. And that in like very severe cases of PTSD, when like in war situations, the dream will be exactly what happened in the moment over and over again. It's like a nightmare, because this has not been able to digest that experience. But as we work on these moments, and this is true about all nightmares, I think, that they are like repeated dreams have to do with knocking on the door. Okay, this is important. I don't want to work on this. This is important. And that as we start to open up that moment and feel into that scary feeling, then the dreams start to shift. And the experience basically becomes digested, because it really does become a conversation. That when I work with somebody in session, we open up a moment and we might just touch into this maybe this tender feeling about that, you know, my father didn't appreciate who I was or the things I did in the world. And I might then, as a kind of a homework in this dream, I wouldn't say go to the moment with your father specifically. I would say go to the moment of the dream, which is you know, maybe it was a beautiful deer with a really big rack of antlers was standing in the driveway and it turned and walked away. You know, maybe that's the dream image. And so I would have the dreamer go to that image during, after the session, like before our next session, and just have that feeling of standing there on the driveway and watching that beautiful stag look at you and turn away. And just feel that for just a few seconds. And somehow that feeling which the dream brought, and the image is very important, and the relationship, feeling, image, relationship, the dream brings those things, and we feel into those things, then it helps us digest those uncomfortable experiences that we've had. You see, I'm a Gemini. I have the gift of gab. I can go on for quite a while. But especially something like this where I'm so excited about the dreams. And it's miraculous the way the image comes up that is precisely what we need to work on, what we're ready to work on, really what we're already working on. Because the dream reflects the work that is already happening on the subconscious plane. And so I get in there and I can wedge it open a little more because we'll like to spend a moment and feel the moment when that deer turns away. What is that like? And that somehow creates, and I don't understand it, but I've observed it and experienced it in my own work, that somehow creates a bridge of healing that allows us to move beyond the early traumatic experiences.
Wow. That's quite a bit. So it takes us, it was interesting, one element of what you brought out I found interesting is that, for instance, my dream last night could be totally different than my dream tonight, but yet both of them could be addressing an earlier traumatic incident that is yet unresolved, unidentified, or that I certainly need to put some attention to. And they could be very different dreams, totally disconnected in that regard, that I wouldn't normally say that dream relates to this one.
It's very true. It's like poetry in a way, that you can have a very different set of poems about the same experience. And so it's almost like subconscious is trying these different ways. And it isn't even a question of trying, because I think that our dreams are working inside of us, even if we don't remember the dream, like that person we talked about who doesn't remember their dreams. Those dreams are still working in that person to heal them and to make them more satisfied with their lives and connect them to the divine as well. So even if we don't remember the dream, it's still working in us. But the dreams may come in, they may explore that particular issue from different perspectives. And maybe, so one moment we have the deer turning away, and maybe the next moment the next dream, say, is we're swimming in this raging river and we can't get to the side. But maybe that's about exactly the same issue, but it's a totally different image. And it's even a different feeling. So that's why the association is important. But then I'm stopping myself because I've really come to believe that the image and the feeling are really what's it about. We don't need to understand the image and the feeling, or we don't even really need to know what the association is. It can be helpful, but it's not required. Can I share a recent dream that I had that I've been working with? I'd like to go ahead and share a dream that I had, that I'm standing in a hallway, and there's a man standing in front of me. He's like a big Hawaiian guy. He seems like a kind of a Hawaiian Santa for some reason, and he's drenched in rain. Rain is just pouring off his body. He's raining outside, and he's coming to the hallway, dripping with rain. And I come out of the bedroom where I lived as a teenager, and I'm standing in front of him, and he's just grinning at me. He's got this big grin on my face. And I just feel so loved and supported. And darned if I don't know why. I have no idea why I have this feeling in this particular dream. I'm standing in front of him, and this is man. He's like dripping. I don't know who he is. And he's just got this big grin on his face. And I have a grin on my face, too, because I feel loved and supported. And I don't know why that image brings up that feeling in me. But still, I have for my homework, that I got from this dream, may call it a dream practice, is to stand in front of the man and feel that love and support. In some way, this man represents to me the divine or some sort of feeling of support, some sort of God or some kind of a force that wants me to feel loved. And so I can stand in front of that man and feel that love and not know why. You know, I don't know why that particular image produces in me that feeling. And if I, you know, have the dream of being in the river and the feeling of the fear of not being able to get to the side, I don't really need to know why. It can help to know why, but I don't have to know why I have that feeling. Just remembering that dream and remembering that feeling and feeling that feeling again can be a very transformative. And so I encourage people to feel into their dreams, to write them down, to share them with others, and that actually just speaking the dream and spending a moment in that dream and seeing the image, feeling the feeling, can really help you move forward, can help you turn some of that lead in your life into gold, like you said in your beautiful introduction.
So then it's really not as important for people to struggle with the idea of what does this mean in this dream and what does this mean and why did these two disparate aspects of my life show up in one dream? It's really more about how did you feel? What were the feelings you got from it? Did you feel threatened? Did you feel safe? Did you feel secure? Did you feel like something was coming together, that it could be successful? So it's really more that aspect of our dream that has potentially more power for us than trying to understand the symbolism of each and every element.
That's what I found, and that's why I find the students of the dream process is so incredibly powerful. It's because it really focuses in the moment of the feeling and the image, and that really keeps me down in my heart, keeps me in my gut and my feelings, whereas when I start to think about the signs and the symbols and all that, I kind of move up into my head, and, you know, I certainly know the place of being in my head, and it's not what I want at this point. And it certainly can be helpful to look up symbols and all that, but I don't spend much time on that myself or with my clients. And, you know, I might have in the back of my mind, you know, that a river is water, and water is often a kind of a sense of emotion, and so maybe this person's feeling like swept away by their emotions. But, you know, I don't bring that particular symbology into the session, because the important thing is that this person is feeling swept away, that there's something, they can't get to the edge. There's like some overwhelm going on there. And so I find that the symbols can be, going to the, you know, looking up a book of symbols can be a distraction, can bring me back up into my head. Whereas what I find is the transformative thing is to be in my heart and be with my feelings.
Yeah, I could see that. Going back to my little throwaway of the unicorn earlier, if you look up unicorn and it says, unicorn says you're living in a fantasy or something like that, then I'm going to spend all my time trying to figure out where am I living in a fantasy. And I may not be getting to the point of my dream.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, maybe because I gave the example of my association with unicorns of this book I read when I was 12. And so, you know, there's maybe, and when I was 12, I was living in a fantasy. I don't know. But the important thing is it did, for me, it brought me back to the time when I was 12 and all the turmoil of the puberty and what was going on in my school and my home life. And so for me, that's a more rich field of exploration, is what's happening for me personally, what's my personal association, rather than the more general thing that you could look up on Google.
And I think one aspect some people may miss about symbology to begin with is goes to exactly what you just pointed out but didn't say quite this way, is that there may be a global symbolic meaning to a particular element or a particular reference. But it's how that reference or element applies to us that's really important. And for each of us, that's different. So the unicorn for you would always come back to that book, potentially, you know, always come back to that time of your life, which would have no frame of reference for anything in my life. And so I think the way you're discussing this is very fascinating. Now, would it help also for people who are interested in maybe starting this exploration to put their toes in the water by being a part of one of your dream groups?
That would be a great idea. I have a dream circle going on now up in Santa Cruz. It's on Seabright Avenue on 2nd and 4th Tuesdays in the evening, 7 to 9 p.m. And you can go to my webpage for more details. And I do find that the dream circles are a wonderful way of of getting started. They're very reasonable cost, and it would be a great way to get to learn about my style. I do offer also a free phone consultation, a 20 or 30 minute consultation if someone wants to talk to me in person and get an idea of how that is. Because if some of your listeners are in Monterey, I know it might not be convenient for them to drive to Santa Cruz. So I certainly do a phone conversation as well, and there's information about that on my website, krbelldreamworker.com.
Yeah, and you also mentioned, too, the Skype sessions, too, if they feel the need to actually see you or something like that.
It's helpful, but it's not necessary, but it is helpful for me to see you, certainly for a full session.
Yes.
And then, of course, Dream Caravan on February 5th, which is a public event up at the Inner Light Center in SoCal, where we're going to have presenters and art activities and movement opportunities. And we're going to have like a big public do talking about dreams. I just love to get people more interested in dreams and listening to their own dreams and starting dream groups. And Sue and Bill of Students of the Dream will be there, as well as some of my other colleagues in this style of work. So that's another way to put your toe in the water. For just $25, you can come to that six-hour event, and there's details on my webpage about that, too.
Yeah, and we want to remind folks that that's Dream Caravan, and that's just a link. It's part of the index on your right there on your homepage on the right-hand side is Dream Caravan. So, there was a question I was going to ask, and I must have lost it. It must have fallen into a dream, and I won't know it till tomorrow. But so if I'm going to go do a dream work with you, I would imagine, even if I was going to do dream circles, I would imagine in some sense it would be good if I do have an idea of some dreams that I'm trying to understand that I've been experiencing. Or could I just go to a dream circle without ever being in touch with any of my dreams because I'm not remembering them?
Well, you certainly could come whether you have a dream or not. I've actually sometimes worked waking life experiences. You know how waking life experiences can be very dreamlike sometimes. And like when synchronicities all line up or something happens that you're like, what? I've even worked with people about moments in a movie. I mean, there's some moment in a movie that like strikes you in a way that you don't quite understand, like, there's a birthday party for a little girl and you start crying and you're like, you don't quite understand why your feeling is that way. You know, that can be a beautiful moment to work as if it were a dream, because there's something coming up for you here about the image, which is in this case is a waking life image, but the feeling is you don't really understand why the feeling it comes up for that particular image. So you really don't need to have a dream to come to a circle or to call me for a consultation. I had one client, one of my very first clients, who would come for full 90-minute sessions, and he would have, like, one image, just, like, something super simple, like, I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm seeing the faces of all the people I know, and, like, they're coming before me one-on-one, and that would be the whole dream. And we could do a whole session on that dream based on the feelings that would come up there and what his associations were and you know, how what was happening since the last session. And so you don't really need to have a dream. But certainly if you have one, that's lovely. And it doesn't have to be recent. Recent will definitely tap into the more current things that are going on for you. But if you have a childhood dream or an old nightmare or anything that you remember, if you still remember it, then there's something there for you to explore. So I think any dream that you remember is worth exploring. So even an old dream would be fine to work with. New dreams are great. Most people have at least one or two dream images that they can think of at any time. And I think once you send your attention to come to a circle or to call me up, then, you know, maybe then some dreams will start to come to the surface and you'll remember. You know, when you're falling asleep, Solazar, sometimes you get these little images that flash before your eyes as you're falling asleep. Little eyelid movies. I have friends who call those eyelid movies. That can be a dream as well. So if you happen to, they call it hypnagogic imagery, and if you happen to have some of those little sequences, and if you jerk yourself awake and write them down, that counts as a dream. Because that's also floating up from these more primitive parts of the brain. So there's all kinds of ways of working with dreams.
And I don't know that we mentioned this, but I wanted to go back to your dream circle for a little bit. As your website, it also points out that your first dream circle is free. So people who want to experience it can go to the dream circle. It's a no-cost thing. After that, it's $20 per session. But but that would also be something worthwhile as people are getting ready, going through this season, getting ready for a new year. Maybe they can find out more about what's holding them back? What have they been emotionally holding on to and not understanding? And I would imagine doing some dream work would help people get a better handle and understanding of that within themselves.
Absolutely. I love the way you frame that as like a New Year's intention. It's like intention to be more clear with you and your relationships, because this work can be really transformative of relationships. And the dream will present to you what is holding you back. Even if the person you're having a relationship issue is not in that particular dream, you can bet your dream, bet your life, the dream is bringing up whatever issue is up for you right now. So if there's something holding you back, then the dreams will bring that. And in a very gentle, loving way, because the dream wants to be heard. And, you know, sometimes it becomes more intense, like in a nightmare or something that more emphatic, and that's like jumping up and down and shouting, this is important, this is what I'm working on. So it's still something, it's like, I want to get your attention. That nightmare can be like shouting, like all caps. But the dream will bring up what is starting to unfold and help you to release your blocks and increase your sense of peace and your sense of being supported. I mean, that's one big difference for me over the last years of working with dreams in this really a feeling kind of a way, is that I feel that I'm not alone in the world. My outer situation really hasn't changed that much, but I just feel like I have more support. I have, I'm loved, and I couldn't even really tell you loved by who or by what. I don't have a God. There's no old man on the cloud in my mind, but somehow I just feel more loved and supported, and like that man in my recent dream standing there dripping on the front hallway. It's like, he loves me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I know that, but I feel more support and love in my life through the dream work that I've been doing. And so I'm super passionate about this. And if anyone feels any niggle to explore this avenue, I would love to hear from you.
And want to let folks know, too, as you mentioned, your dream circles are the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. And the second Tuesday of the month is this week coming, the 13th. It's it's our full moon Tuesday. And so they still have an opportunity to check in on the 13th with you to see whether or not this is some work they would like to pursue with you. Whether
that's
it's
true,
part of
and
group
I'm glad
or
you
part of
Lazar, because we are having a circle on the 13th, but the 4th of this month is the 27th, right after Christmas. I'm flying back east to visit my parents, and so we will not have a dream circle on the 4th this month, but we'll start up again in January. And if you're interested, send me an email or telephone me, and I will let you know about the upcoming circles. But the next opportunity is December 13th. It's coming.
Yeah, 13th coming up. Okay, good for that clarification. But now that you mentioned your parents, there is a question I wanted to ask earlier.
Yes.
What was the impact with your parents or your family when you chose to go from being the NASA scientist to being the dream counselor?
Well, that's challenging. I find I'm cringing a little because my family are all scientists. In fact, there's four children and my two parents, all six of us are scientists. So it's pretty big break for that tradition. And, you know, I really think that's part of why I went into science, is because I was surrounded by science growing up. My mother is an elementary school teacher. I wish she was. She's retired now. She was an elementary school teacher. And so we always had a lot of science in the house. And so I was good at science. And I'm very, very good with the math. So I found that I could do that. And it seemed like everybody in my family was a scientist. And so I should, of course, go into science. But, you know, after spending 12 years through high school, and then another 12 years after high school of college and then graduate school, so a total of 24 years of schooling, mostly focused on science, I decided it wasn't that satisfied. I was just like kind of bored and restless, and I just didn't really like the science, even though I was a civil servant at NASA, which was not an easy position to obtain. Once I got there, I was like, dang, I'm not really enjoying this. What is going on here? So I actually, the last several years there, I switched over and was a manager, which is like kind of unheard of in my family. But it was more satisfying. And so that was like a clue of what direction I needed to go in. And so it was difficult for me to really announce to my family that I wasn't going to be a scientist anymore, at least not in that way. I mean, I'll always be a scientist because that's the way I think about things. But professionally, it was a major coup to get a civil service position and then just to let it go and just quit for something like dreams was like, ooh. It was challenging. And I don't know how much my family really knows about what I do. You know, we talk, but they kind of like politely change the subject.
Well, I was going to say, when you mentioned the fact of your being a Gemini, certainly that was a big decision. You can't say your Gemini kept you from doing it because you did it. So we want to remind folks once again, you have a Dream Circle coming up this coming Tuesday, December 13th, 7 to 9 p.m. on Seabright Avenue in Santa Cruz. People can go to krbelldreamworker.com, which is also on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, to connect over, to get in touch with you, let you know if they'd like to be a part of that dream circle. Also, you do have coming up February 5th, the Dream Caravan from 2 to 8 p.m., and they can also find out more about that on your website. And as we mentioned earlier, this is a good time if they want to explore what's going on inside them emotionally, to be able to understand, because once we understand, very often the blocks clear themselves. We just don't know what's blocking us till we try to understand. And once we do, it's not a block. So for people who would like to do that, they can contact you also to do individual dream work as well as what goes on in your circles. So is there anything else, Catherine, that you would like to share with folks to make sure they understand about the work you do and the benefits to them?
Oh, gosh, so it seems like we covered a lot of territory today, Solazar. Thank you. No, I'm feeling really satisfied. This has been a really, really delightful experience.
Okay, and I do have to tell you that I talked to your parents at length before today's call, and they'll talk some more. just absolutely, absolutely teasing. So I want to thank you. If you'll hold on for a second, I want to let folks know that Good Vibrations Radio will be back again live on Tuesday. Kirilani will have her go with the flow about the vibrational energy of the coming week as we continue to journey through December, which is a preview month of the first 6 months of the year. So for those of you who downloaded your preview calendar from the Good Vibrations Radio website, we want to remind you that today is a preview of February 15th through the 21st. And hopefully you're keeping watch on what you're experiencing, what you're going through, so that when you come to that week in the year, you'll be ready for the challenges that present itself. As we close out today's show, I'm going to once again close out with my new all-time favorite, which is Hallelujah as performed by Pentatonix, the a cappella group. And so I'm going to get a little bit of that in before we cut away to the top of the hour. So thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Make sure you connect in with Catherine Bell and her experiential dream work and turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composes.